T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, and thank you for coming. I'm here to field questions concerning the letter we sent out last evening requesting that the New York State Comptroller, Thomas DiNapoli, investigate the governor and his motives behind closing the Western New York Children's Psychiatric Center, the most successful mental health facility in the state of New York and one of the top 10 most successful facilities in the country. If anyone has any questions, we're glad to take them. To my right is Rebecca Kujawa, who is on the legal team, and to my left is David Chuddy, who is co-chair of the Coalition to Save the Western New York Children's Psychiatric Center.
As a result of this letter, what can happen? What are the intended results?
The controller is the highest ranking officer in the state who has not been tied to any corruption. He has the ability to investigate, to do an audit, to take a look, to find out what the governor's motives may be, and it's our hope that with a light being shined on this by the comptroller, the governor's true motives will be revealed, and that the Western New York Children's Psychiatric Center will be saved.
What do you think those true motives are?
No good reason has been articulated for the closure of this highly successful facility. Upon the convictions of key members of the Cuomo administration, the Prococo conviction, the Aiello conviction, was a contractor, the testimony of Todd Howe, for the first time we have what may be a colorable, what may be a motive here. So we see that there is a tremendous amount of contractor bribery going on with this governor's administration. And the land is not only perfect for its current use, but it's a developer's dream. So it causes us to question, perhaps the governor intends to, perhaps his intentions aren't honorable and are in line with the kind of deals that Todd Howe testified are routinely done by this governor. We're currently before New York State Supreme Court Justice Catherine Nugent Panopinto. Her Honor has consistently ruled in favor of this facility and consistent with law. We have had as an obstacle a certain appellate division justice who was appointed to the appellate division by the governor and who, without a hearing and without this going before the entire appellate division, has stopped Justice Panopinto's orders from going through. However, we are in the middle of litigation, and Rebecca can tell you the status of that.
Yes, we are sending out discovery demands this week, and we intend to depose the governor. That's where we stand on that.
So this isn't the last-ditch effort. This is just to shed some more light on the true motives of the governor, which he certainly has not openly acknowledged. In fact, nobody's given us a reason. I don't know, Dave, you have asked the question directly. Have you been given any answers, any reasons why they would close this facility that makes sense?
The reasons don't make sense, and I've gotten sick of trying to provide answers to these past 5 years. When you explain to people what's going on, they look at you and go, well, why would he do that? That doesn't make sense, because it is the highest rated facility in the state for psychiatric care, whether we're talking adults or children. But we've had, more older professionals, psychologists, social workers that have come forward over these years, who back in the 60s were the firebrands that pushed to have the kids moved out of that Buffalo Psych Center. They had kids there and it wasn't working, it was horrible. And they fought and advocated for the Children's Psych Center to be built, a separate facility therapeutically designed away from all the hustle and bustle of the city, away from long-term psychiatric adults. to this bucolic setting that works. You know, we've been repeating this, the lowest reinstitutionalization rate. You know, they save lives, and the kids and their families, not one. This has been bizarre for us because even in the governor's veto letter last fall, the unanimous legislature passes a bill to prevent him from moving the psych center. And he says, by the way, they've been playing these word games for 5 years. We're not closing it. We're just relocating it into a completely separate facility. You folks have all seen the Strozzi building at the Buffalo Psych Center. Now you look at that building, that tall 8-story institutional building, and you look at the lower quarter of that building, 4 floors on the right side, that's where they're putting those kids. And they're gonna put in a separate elevator and a separate door and a 14-foot fence around it. And that's where those kids, that's their plan. And the adults will be above them, they'll be alongside of them, and it's an open campus, not only for the adult psychiatric patients, but for the 12,000 plus campus at Buff State and for anybody in that Elmwood Village area. They just walk it around. And you're gonna tell me that that's a separate facility? That's what they're saying? That is nuts. And they're saying, well, it's gonna be better for the kids, the low income families and kids in Buffalo. They don't want any part of having their kids go there. They've told us. That governor, that mental health commissioner has not provided any family, youth, mental health professional that is not paid by the Office of Mental Health to step forward in 5 years to say this is good for those kids. We say, how is it better for these kids? They say, well, it's gonna be a beautiful building. That's great. How is it better for these kids? Don't worry, we're gonna move all the staff over. How is it better for these kids and their families? There's no good answer. And they've said that it's gonna cost so much at the Children's Psych Center to rehab it. Show us the figures, because 90% of what they've said needs to be done has already been done.
Yeah, we know how it's good for the contractors. We know about the $12 million in renovations, how it's good for them. We know how it could be good for developers for land that is worth millions of dollars, but they have not shown us how it's good for these children. In fact, the governor changed his tune twice. At first, he said, this is not about money, Ann Sullivan. This is not about money. And then we said, okay, how is it in the best interest of the kids? We have affidavits from all these professionals, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers. They say that it's better to leave this exemplary facility alone. Then they turned the argument and said, well, it's about money. Well, how does it save money? And they haven't been able to show how it saves any money. In fact, it's going to cost taxpayers quite a bit more to do this rehab.
You also, in your letter, suggest that the governor is violating some mental hygiene law. If you could elaborate on that. Does your argument perhaps, is it strong enough to sway the judge?
It has already been strong enough to sway the judge. The judge has taken a look at the mental hygiene law and said, you know, how do you deal with the, she's asked the Attorney General's office and said, how do you deal with the fact that in order to do what the governor's in the process of doing, he would have required legislative approval, that the mental hygiene law requires that. And although they spoke for about 15 minutes in response to that question, they never answered the question. The law is the law. And this governor thinks he's above it. And let's see, you know, we'll just see about that. Let's see what the controller has to say about it.
You mentioned that the governor is pressuring legislature members to allow the closing of the facility. Well, what do you mean by that?
The unanimous, bipartisan, Democrat, Republican, conservative Assembly and Senate unanimously said, keep this place open. And they passed a bill. The governor vetoed it. Now, to override the veto, it should be a simple matter. But this governor has been making phone calls to all kinds of legislators saying, and we've been talking to these legislators saying, look, are you going to stand fast? And they say, well, you know, they hem and haw. Have you been in contact with the governor's office? Well, yes, we have. And you should reach out. I don't want to be the one to tell you what these legislators have said to us, but you reach out to them and see what they say to you. They've also gone out, the governor's office has pressured the unions, has called the unions and say, look, we know that you stand in favor of the Western New York Children's Psychiatric Center. What can I give you that will get you to back off your opposition to my efforts? And you need to talk to union leaders and see what's been said and the negotiations that are ongoing. So far, the unions have stood fast and say, you know what? We have to put the children above our financial interests for our members. And the unions have so far stood fast and say, quality of care for our kids is paramount. But the governor's not saying that. I don't believe that.
There's a new legislature now.
Yes.
Yeah, that bill would need to be reintroduced. It could be the same language, but it would need to be reintroduced in new bill numbers.
Can you just explain that a little bit more? So obviously there's new legislature. The bill was vetoed. So where are things sitting now? Does it have to be reintroduced and repassed?
Let's take this back. Take it backwards. The governor needs, by statutory law, needs the consent of the legislature to do what he's doing, and he doesn't have that. In terms of passing another bill or vetoing the bill, you know, that's another process that could take place. But first, this governor has to whip up enough votes to get legislative approval.
The bill would need to be reintroduced. One of the stalwarts that on the assembly side who represented the Children's Psych Center, Michael Kearns, is no longer an assemblyman. He's been elected to, I think, the county clerk position here. So that's an open seat. So that center right now has no assembly person. There's a special election later this month for that. Both candidates have said that they would, you know, pick up the cause, but that would need to be reintroduced. We were hoping to include language in the budget bill that would allow the Children's Psych Center to remain where it is. I don't believe that was kept in the budget bill. So the next step would be to try to reintroduce legislation. I don't know if we will be successful in doing that. It really, you know, it was a huge effort to get every single, you know, state legislator, assembly, senate on board before. They're all up for re-election. They're all, I mean, from what I've been told, they all have issues in their own districts. They would all like some, you know, bennies in their own districts. And so to get someone again from Long Island that might be willing to put his or her neck out for something in Western New York during an election year, I'm not sure politically from what people are telling me whether that's going to be as easy a task.
Why send a letter to the comptroller, not the state attorney general, or have you already done that?
The New York State Attorney General has remarkably, incredibly, chosen to represent the governor in this lawsuit. My first impulse was absolutely to get the attorney general on board and say, hey, general, the governor is breaking the law. He's violating three sections of the mental hygiene law. He should know better. Governor Cuomo was the New York State Attorney General. He's an attorney at law. He knows this. He has entered into contracts for millions of dollars without legislative approval to do what requires legislative approval. And who shows up to defend the governor but the Attorney General? It is mind-boggling. That's the reason we directed this inquiry, why I directed my letter to the New York State Comptroller. It was, you raise an incredibly sensitive point, and I've got to, you know, I will follow through on your question unabashedly. For reasons that only Eric Schneiderman can explain, Mr. Schneiderman chose not to prosecute the governor's office in the Prococo Aiello Howe scandal, in the Buffalo Billions scandal. The attorney general chose not to do this. So the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Preet Bharara, took that on. Nobody knows why. To now say, well, can you go to the feds? Yes, we can, if it turns out that the state is unwilling to prosecute Governor Cuomo, who prosecutor take him to task because of fear of him. He's very aggressive, very retaliatory, and vindictive governor. We've seen that. We may have to go to the feds, and we're willing to do that. But the first step is to go to the New York State Comptroller. The U.S. Attorney for the Western District of New York would be the next logical place for us to go, but let's see how this turns out. And we have a judge who's on the case who's not afraid to do what's right. The only problem is there are judges higher than Her Honor who, acting singly, have tied her hands.
So it sounds like you have a lot of fronts going, a lot of attack fronts, if for lack of a better term, going at one time.
We don't intend to let this go. When you attack our kids, you strike a nerve. So we don't intend to let this go. And this governor better be squeaky clean, and our fears and suspicions better be unfounded, or this governor may find himself in handcuffs.
Can you speak a little more to what is going on in the legal process right now?
Well, as I mentioned, we are sending out discovery demands this week, so that'll be, you know, asking for kind of the support for the claims that the governor's office has made about, you know, the plans for the land that the Western New York Children's Psychiatric Center is currently on, and the various contracts and the background on the financial information. Those are the types of information you want to gather. So it's that process of getting kind of the information that they've claimed, that we want to see what real support they have for that. So that's the process that we're in right now, is getting that information. And then our plan is to take the deposition of Governor Cuomo and potentially Commissioner Sullivan to ask them directly about these same issues.
What would a time frame on that be?
I mean, it's hard to say with the exact... generally, you have about 30 days to respond to discovery demands, but it's never a clear-cut thing. I would say this would be done with the depositions, hopefully, within the next 3 to 6 months.
What happens in the meantime to the Psych Center?
Well, the governor has started to use this for, I'm told, Department of Motor Vehicle road tests, which is kind of a bizarre use of that amazing facility. And there's an uncertainty that pervades the staff, wondering, where are they going to end up? Are they going to have to move or not? For the moment, people are still doing a beautiful job there of taking care of the kids. But work continues. As a matter of fact, work continued even after Judge Panepinto issued a stop work order, because the governor claimed, the attorney general claimed, we're going to be subjecting ourselves to breach of contract claims by the contractors if they have to stop work. Well, those contracts were never duly authorized. Attorney general is saying they didn't have to be authorized, that the mental hygiene law doesn't apply to Governor Cuomo. That is, in my 30 years of practice, the most bizarre argument I have ever heard, and that's saying something.
Is there anything you can take away from the lessons in Central New York? They fought a similar thing and ended up losing.
We are clad in the armor of righteousness. We are hoping that that gets us through the powerful governor's tactics. All I could say is that we have 17,000 signatures from 17,000 residents who are saying children come first. And we have one governor who's running for re-election who now has to face 17,000 citizens, a unanimous bicameral legislature, and we're hoping that we're mounting a more vigorous defense of this precious facility than they did in Central New York, and there was one out on Long Island as well. All right, thank you all for coming. If you have any additional questions, we're happy to take them on or off the record.
We can just get the spelling of everyone's names in case someone else looks at this on my end.
David Chudy, Chudy.
Stephen M. Cohen, Stephen with a V. Litigation Chair Hogan Willig.
Rebecca Kujawa, it's Kujawa.
Attorney with
Hogan Willig. Sorry.
Is there any sort of like
timeline that the governor can say, all right, we're done, this is closed? I'm sorry, this is just my ignorance, since I haven't been covering this.
The governor is not driving this ship. We are. We've brought the lawsuit, and we're governed by the civil practice law and rules. And to the extent that the governor thinks that he's not subject to the CPLR or to the laws of the state of New York, I think this judge will prove that he's mistaken.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.